Dane Brugler was just with us from The Athletic. He writes The Beast. I mean, it is the ultimate guide to the NFL draft. And some interesting points about quarterback. We're going to bring him back up here. Daryl Ryder's in today. I'm Andy Baskin. We're in for Ken and Anthony. They have the day off today. So that plus we are going to talk about the best kept secret in Cleveland sports right now. We're going to talk about that coming up a little bit later. We'll do that maybe in about 20 minutes. Daryl, what did you think of what he had to say about the quarterback situation? Because I'm all on board with some of the things that he said.
I feel vindicated.
Yeah.
Like, I feel, because I have said all along that I have serious reservations about the Browns drafting a quarterback with the second overall pick. I think it's better that it be a meat and potatoes draft, offensive line, defensive line help. Dane mentioned that this is a great draft for defensive linemen. I really like the idea of Carter from Penn State drafting him to pair him opposite of Myles Garrett with that number two pick. I also really love the idea of trading down a few slots, picking up an extra first round pick for 2026 and positioning yourself to go ahead and get the guy that might be available in 2026, because I think that it's just going to be a better quarterback class. But what really struck me is that Dane mentioned if last year's draft class were in this year's class, or included with this year's class, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders would be the 7th and 8th quarterbacks taken in the class. And that tells me all I need to know, and I feel vindicated.
What do you want the Browns to do? I know it's a little bit early. Yeah, but I mean, like, all right, let me rephrase this. Do you think the
Thanks
Browns...
Thanks for listening.
No, I was listening, but I know we've talked about this a couple times, but do you think the Browns will force themselves to take a quarterback at 2? That's my problem. That's what I'm really... I was going to lead you up to that question. Right. I'm just going to straight up and ask you. Will the Browns force themselves to take a quarterback at 2?
I hope not, but it is a concern. And then I go back to what I've said before. If they do that, they're talking themselves into something, number one. Number two, they're going to repeat the mistake that finds them in the position that they're in right now. And that is an impulsive, I don't want to say last ditch, but emotional, we have to do something decision that led them to give up 6 draft picks and fully guaranteed $230 million to bring Deshaun Watson here. And it's been an unmitigated disaster, right? So I feel like if, you know, to what Dan was talking about, if they take Cam or Shedeur, which they're not going to be there, but if they were to take them in the second round or something, one of those guys in the second round, I'm not going to kill them for it. But at the same time, this is not the year to be looking for your franchise savior. I mean, even when Dane was talking about Jalen Milroe, he's like, this is a kid that's going to need 2 to 3 years of development behind the scenes. Like, if the Browns do take him or any team takes him, hopefully that fan base is not sitting there saying to themselves, franchise savior is in the house, because that's not the case either. So I really want the Browns to address offensive defensive line at number 2 or wherever they fall, hopefully in the top 10 there with a trade down. I want them to draft one of these running backs, because you've got to replace Nick Chubb. This seems to be the perfect year to do that. This is not the year to draft a wide receiver. Dane just got done telling us about that. Not a great class to do it, so stay away from that position group. I don't know, maybe Andrew Berry trades for a wide receiver for what, the 3rd, 4th, 5th straight offseason, right? It seems like every year, death taxes and Andrew Berry trades for a receiver. But yeah, I really want this to be a meat and potatoes style draft for the Browns, because I think that's what they need most, and I don't want them reaching for the quarterback. You're already going to be reaching for a quarterback, Andy, in free agency, because that's all that's available to you are guys that you're going to be reaching for, bringing in reclamation projects that you've got your fingers crossed that Tommy Rees and Kevin Stefanski can squeeze what little good football they have left in them.
Force, I think, is the big word here. Like, yeah. I just don't want to see the Browns force themselves into a quarterback at number two, that they're just picking a quarterback because they have to pick a quarterback because they don't have to do anything. There are too many other good players in this draft that if you're going to force it, it's just, I don't think it's going to work. We've watched this. You said something early in the show this morning about picking a name. Like, stop picking names for marketing. Or somebody said that this morning, that the Browns can't get, they just need to disconnect. Let's not wake up on draft day and go, well, Shedeur Sanders, man, made headlines for years from a marketing aspect.
We're going to sell a ton of jerseys in the team shop.
It can't be about selling jerseys anymore. Enough. We've seen that already.
You know what sells jerseys? Breaking news for the Cleveland Browns and the folks over at 76 La Groza. Winning games. That's what sells jerseys.
Ryan's in Painesville. Hey, Ryan, hop on in. How are you?
Hey, gents. How are you this morning?
We're good.
So I had actually had a question for Daryl. The more I think about it, you know, I think like a lot of Clevelanders will really do not want them drafting a quarterback at two. And the more I think about it, I thought, you know, Miles had his end-of-the-year conference, and he was talking about how he was going to talk to the front office, see their plans, so he can gauge what he's doing. I can't see Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski selling Shedeur or Cam to him and him being like, I'm on board, let's go. I really think if he's happy with the game plan, they're going to take Hunter Carter or trade back, and he's happy with that because then they'll acquire picks, get a quarterback next year, like Daryl, you've been saying, and get somebody that's really going to help out the defense and him and his legacy. And I'm wondering, the more I think about it, I don't think they're going to go back on that and draft a quarterback. Daryl, I wanted your input on that and see what, you know, you're thinking.
Well, I think when it comes to Miles' situation, the Browns are going to make Miles happy by making him the highest paid defender in the NFL. That's what they're going to do to make Miles Garrett happy. I think Nick Bosa, if I'm not mistaken, Andy, is the highest paid. He's like $170 million or something like that over 5 years, signed it like in 22 or 23. That's how they're going to make Miles Garrett happy. That's how they're going to sell Miles Garrett on their plan. We're going to make you the richest defender in NFL history. That's what we're going to do. And then we're going to figure out plan A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, whatever it is they're going to do at quarterback. That's the plan. And I am, you know, it's interesting because Ken and I go back and forth on this very show when I pop on, and I aggravate him when I don't show a lot of enthusiasm for the prospects of the 2025 season, and it needles Ken a lot, and I get it, but like I'm not, because I feel like this is a year where you're just going to try and get through it with whatever quarterback you can find. Fingers crossed they can come in here and they can play well. Maybe you win 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games. All the stars align for you again and you make the playoffs again, but you're really not going to go anywhere. Like, that's best case scenario. Worst case scenario is you go through another season that we just went through, right? But that's why I'm looking at this as a two-year fix for the Browns. Year one, meat and potatoes this offseason. Let's fix the trenches. You got an aging offensive line. You need some work on the defensive line. Secondary might need a little help. And then next year, that's when you want to pounce on the quarterback, the franchise guy. And I realize a lot has to happen between now and 12 months down the road. But I feel like that's the most disciplined path. And I feel like Andrew Berry, you know, he's a very process-oriented individual. He's a very intelligent guy. And if you want to really prove that you're a process-oriented individual and that your processes actually work, this is what you do.